This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Lim Soon Heng, and you're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm talking to the CEO of ICLIF, Leadership and Governance Center, Rajiv Peshavria. I'm going to be talking about the kinds of neat things that Malaysian organization needs. Leadership and governance. Now, ICLIF has been set up in Malaysia since 2003. Mm-hmm. What are some of the high points that you can tell us about from between 2003 and now?
Well, let's first talk about why ICLIF was set up. ICLIF was set up on the heels of the late 90s currency crisis in Asia. Some of the leaders here in Malaysia, notably Tan Sri Zeti, the governor of the Central Bank of Malaysia, thought that that crisis, that financial crisis in Asia, was a crisis actually of leadership. And that if the industry could have better leaders and better governance, you would not have issues like this. So that was the thought behind the setting up of ICLIF at the time. And it was initially focused only on the financial services industry.
So when you talk about leadership, what specifically do you mean by that term? Because, I mean, we talk about leadership in a lot of different aspects. But when we talk about leadership in industries, what?
Yeah, well, you know, leadership is, in my opinion, a very misunderstood term. Typically, we all think of leadership as somebody in a position of power, somebody in a position of authority. Just because somebody has a C in front of their title in a corporation or somebody who holds a ministerial post in a government, we call them a leader. In my opinion, that is not necessarily leadership. That is an important position, but it's not necessarily leadership.
So it's not positional. It's not the office that you occupy.
It is definitely not, although that is the biggest misconception about leadership. And the first thing we need to do is to clear that misconception. Leadership is about creating a better future. Anybody, regardless of whether they have a position or office or not, the moment they make the choice that I'm going to spend my life creating a better future, is a leader. And for that, we've proved by research that you don't need position power to do that. You need a lot of energy to not give up.
Why this misconception then?
Well, it's the traditional way that people have thought about leadership. That leadership is something about commanding other people. Leadership is about having position. And the other misconception, by the way, is that, you know, leadership can be learned in classrooms and in institutions through competency models and through role plays and best practice copycat formulas. None of that is possible.
Doesn't what you just said undermine what your organization is about?
It does. In fact, our organization challenges every conventional wisdom about leadership. You see, $80 billion is spent every year on leadership development around the world through organizations like some of the most prestigious organizations in the world that provide executive education and regular leadership education and research. What we are saying is that it's not working. And we have to think about new paradigms of leadership. And that's what the ICLIF Leadership Governance Center stands for, that the $80 billion is spent on theoretical models of competencies, copying other people's behavior in the name of best practice research. Leaders are not made like that.
So how are leaders made?
Leaders are born when two things happen simultaneously. One, when you feel deeply about the inadequacies of current reality. And two, when you decide to do something about it.
You're talking like a man on a mission.
All of us in ICLIF are people on a mission because we think that the whole leadership development industry is not getting it right. And leaders are made by their own choices about, you know, do I want to be a leader? And how do I want to behave? And what do I want to do? Do I want to create a better future? Do I want to take those risks?
The way you're presenting it to me, it comes across that in my mind. You know, I mean, I see a charismatic person this person is on a mission to change the world, convert the world or something.
Well, again, there is a common misconception that charisma and a certain personality type is needed for leadership. Our research says there is zero correlation between any of those. What I said was that leaders create a better future. And leaders find intrinsic energy to not give up. Because the moment you say, I want to create a better future, however small, for your little department in your company or for the country as a whole, you're going to face resistance. That's the natural human condition, right? Resistance is your friend the moment you say, I want to change something. The key to leadership is to find that inner energy first in yourself to not give up. And that cannot be taught in a classroom. You have to self-discover it. It comes from clarity of purpose and clarity of values. The moment people become clear about those two things, they find that energy. And then the rest of leadership is to energize 10,000, 50,000, a million people around you. And again, it's about how to harness their energy towards that common mission. These are things that are very practical aspects of leadership that they don't teach you at, dare I say, Harvard Business School.
I mean, the language, the rhetoric that you are using seem to suggest to me that, you know, it's almost, there's a spiritual component to it.
There definitely is. You see, leadership is a choice, not a position, not a title. You really need to know who you are and what you want, because leadership is not glamorous. You're going to be unpopular the moment you say that you want to create a better future, because the world takes time to alignment with your vision, if it does at all. You're going to be misunderstood for a long, and there's no guarantee of result. You've decided to dedicate your life towards creating a picture of a better future that you have in mind. There's no guarantee that you're going to succeed, but real leaders don't care about that. They make that choice of leadership because for them, status quo is not the answer. And this is what we are trying to teach people, that, you know, you have to make a leader to yourself. And then the second part that Eclipse focuses on is how do you create other leaders now that you have discovered leadership for yourself. So those are the two things because of which leadership happens. A, you make your own choices. B, you get help from other leaders. That's what we are trying to bring this information and these messages in a very practical way to our participants and students.
And how do you do that? I mean, you came in here, you told me that, you know, what happens in the classroom for the most part isn't about leadership. So, but you are trying to get people into a classroom too.
Yes, yeah. But ours are very non-traditional classrooms. You see, we are the first ones to say that we cannot teach anybody leadership. What we can show you is what leaders are made up of. And then it depends on the choices you're going to make for yourself and the choices you're going to make in the way how you encourage other people to become leaders. We will give you the frameworks. We will give you the thinking frameworks. We will give you the behavior frameworks because we study leadership 24/7. And then we leave you with the fact that, you know, if you consider some of these things and if you're going to dig deep and challenge yourself, you may become a leader. Here are the preconditions. But you're not. We don't have a three-step formula and a 1 week worth of case studies and role plays. You know, there are organizations that do case studies upon case studies. You go for a 1 week course to some of the most prestigious schools and they do 1 week of cases, six cases a day. Very lively discussions, and they hope that you become leaders after discussing 20 cases. So give me a break. It does not work like that.
So it's not a question of having a list and say, look, do I have that? Do I have that? Check one. Seven characteristics I must have to become a leader. No.
None of that. You have to answer some deep questions that get you to clarity about what is your purpose and what are your values. Once you become totally clear about those two things, you will get the energy to lead.
So before we go to a commercial break, tell me if I think that, you know, I want to change the world. I want to make a better future. What questions would you be posing to me to make me reflect?
First of all, what are the things that are most important to me in this world? What keeps me awake? What makes me feel really either upset or really deeply about things that are most important to me? That's the first question. And most people are not honest with themselves. You know, you really need to know what is most important to you. Secondly, do I want to just lead a simple life rich with everyday small pleasures? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Just admit it. Do I want to achieve great success in an individual endeavor? You want to be Roger Federer? Fine. That's a different kind of leadership. Or do I want to make the world a better place for other people? In which case, you've got to close your eyes and imagine that better future for other people. So those are the kind of questions that get you to purpose. In terms of values, you know, what makes me emotional? Because you're talking here about emotional energy, which is much more powerful than rational energy. You need to understand your emotions. You can only understand your emotions if you understand your values, because we feel emotional, human beings, when there is either a match or a mismatch between the situation at hand and one of our deeply held values. So values help us understand our emotions. Emotions produce that kind of energy that I'm talking about. So those are the kind of questions you need to ask to get to that clarity.
Sounds like we need to kind of go away from all the noise in the city, go to a really quiet place and find ourselves to start.
And that's exactly what we do. We take people up to those quiet places. And in a typical 1 week program of ours, the first 2 days are all about finding yourself. And people who are very accomplished people, very senior people who come to our programs, they find themselves in a very different light at the end of those 2 days. And then the rest of what we do is more about the organization. And
I know I'm supposed to be interviewing you and you're supposed to be telling me the stories, but I have a story for you. I met a young person and she was part of a program where they take these young people out into the desert. And for the first few days, they have to be by themselves. And this young person told me, it was so hard to be with myself, and then the realization that I don't know what I want.
Mm. And that's the beginning of leadership, by the way. The moment you realize how little you know about yourself, because most people, we ask them, are you honest with yourself? And most people say, of course I'm honest with myself. Duh, what a stupid question. Frankly, most people are not. They're either in denial or they're in blissful ignorance. So I love your story because that's where it begins. And then after you've discovered yourself, you need to then figure out what you need to do for other people, for your organization. Now, that part of leadership is much more teachable and learnable. But the first part, which is discovering yourself and finding that courage, that energy, is the hard part.
I'm talking to Rajiv Peshavria, the CEO of Eclif. And we've been talking about some of these questions that leaders need to be asking themselves. Coming up, we'll talk about an event that Eclif will be organizing in conjunction with the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. This is Lim Soon Heng, and you're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm talking to Rajiv Peshavria, the CEO of Eclif, and we've been talking about a different way of finding leadership. And now we're going to be talking about the collaboration between Eclif and the University of Michigan on a program. Tell us a little bit about this program that's going to be coming up.
So first of all, it's not just one program. We've entered into a strategic collaboration with the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. You see, a lot of organizations in Asia, Malaysia and elsewhere in Asia, have been inviting Western organizations to come and speak, to come and conduct programs. We were looking for a partner that we could co-deliver and co-design and co-teach with, because we believe that, you know, we have assembled probably, if I dare say so myself, probably the best faculty team in Asia. We've attracted people from Harvard and Yale and General Electric and Johnson & Johnson.
Just a few minutes ago, you were knocking the very school you're just mentioning.
Again, there are great people in every organization. I am not knocking any institution. Okay. I'm knocking the methods, the commercial methods of case studies. Okay. Overuse of the case method, for example.
Okay.
I'm knocking the competency modeling approach, which is the holy grail of leadership development. All the conventional methods.
Mm-hmm.
The organizations have a lot of greatness in them. Anyway,
okay.
So we've assembled some of the best minds from these organizations, either from academia or from commercial organizations like General Electric and Coca-Cola and Johnson & Johnson, from around the world to come and live in KL. And they are now full-time faculty of Eclif. What we are doing is living and breathing Asian air and researching leadership in the Asian context every day. With that, we have developed a body of knowledge in terms of Asian leadership. So we were looking for a partner that we could co-design, co-deliver, and co-teach with from the West, because and a school that has great knowledge of leadership in general, as well as business acumen. The University of Michigan Ross School of Business is a top 10 school in the world for business. And their specialty is that they mix uniquely the human and the business elements of business leadership, and are very well known in the world for that. So combining their global knowledge of leadership and business and our unique Asian perspective on leadership, we've created a series of programs that we hope to deliver starting October for our clients. These programs will be jointly certified. You will get a University of Michigan and Eclif certificate. And we think that the combination of East and West is going to be a first real one in this part of the world. And that's why we are doing these programs.
What's lacking in Asian leaders?
Asian leaders, in the little over 2 years that I've been back in Asia, here's my observation. If you talk to followers in most parts of Asia, they say, look, we are very scared to open our mouth. We are not encouraged to speak our mind, and therefore we don't want to innovate. We tried initially and we were told that's not a good thing, so we are supposed to respect authority. And therefore they are holding back. We ask leaders in Asia or people in big positions, and they say that they want people to speak up, want people not to be scared, and they want more innovation and more ideas. So there's a gap, you know, when you look at the two.
But since I'm more often on the side of the subordinate than the CEO, I'm inclined to think that CEO are saying to you the things that they want you to hear, that about, you know, we want to hear from the people. But in reality, I find a lot of people, quote, in those positions of leadership because of the office they hold, they just want people to do what they say, because after all, they are the ones setting up the vision.
Well, Asia has one of the highest scores on what we call the power distance gap. You see, where we are supposed to respect and obey authority.
Kowtow, yeah.
And I think that is the biggest problem for leadership in Asia. So subordinates need to learn how to speak up with a little bit more courage and without getting themselves into trouble. At the same time, more importantly, leaders need to learn how to create that culture and an environment where you put your money where your mouth is, not saying that, you know, I need you to speak up, and then not allowing any dissent is not okay. You may be right that it may be greater responsibility on the part of the leader to create that kind of an environment. And that's exactly the kind of things that the issues that we deal with in our programs. You know, why is it that innovation is lacking? Why is it that employee engagement scores in some Asian countries are the lowest in the world. It's because of this power distance culture, and what can you do about it? Some of them are doing it without realizing it, by the way. So we get them to the realization, here's your behavior, here's what you're doing, and look how it turns out to the other person. So that, to me, is the biggest issue. Another issue that, the list of positives of Asian leadership is much larger, by the way. So don't hear me incorrectly. I think you're more interested in the things that are, you want me to talk about the things that are not.
Problematic.
But the positive list is much larger. That said, the other thing that I have found, which Asia in general can be better at, is meritocracy. Is putting the right person in the right job because of pure merit and not because of other conditions. So the power distance issue of authority and meritocracy, if we can move the needle on these two things, I think Asia will much better achieve its potential.
Are these issues inherent in Asian culture? Or this somehow learned and acquired over time? Or is it like it's under confusion principles?
Yes.
You know, your father is the head of the
yes.
family and becomes the model for the state.
Yes.
So is this something about our culture that has kind of ingrained, that puts authority up so high that we say, no,
yes.
we don't touch them?
And it's one of the major differences, cultural differences between Asia and the West, for example. The here, you know, position trumps everything. Whereas in the West, it's not about who you are, but what you know. That's more important. So, you know, we call people by their first names if they are CEOs in the US, in most of Europe. Here, we call them by their title. In some Western cultures, you know, even for parents, we use a form of addressing that's not, in some ways, considered in other parts of the world, respectful. But their view of the world is not that we are not being disrespectful for our mother and our father, it's we're close to them. And that's why we address them much more naturally. So yeah, that is one of the biggest cultural differences. Now, I'm not saying which is right and which is wrong,
sure.
but there is that cultural difference for sure.
The issue about meritocracy, is it also somehow inbuilt?
Well, you see, I have a friend of mine who researches ethnic cultures around the world. He's a Dutchman. And he tells you the story about the differences between Americans and Westerners and Asians. I'll give you the punchline after the story. It goes, you know, the Westerners say you cannot trust the Asians because they are always helping their friends and family. And the Asians, here's what we have to say about Westerners, is you cannot trust the Westerners because they don't even help their friends and family. So now you tell me which is right and which is wrong. You see? So yes, these are cultural elements. As the world is getting a lot more global, I think both the East and the West have much to learn from each other. But even though there are cultural differences in Asia and elsewhere in the world, you see, I have lived in 8 countries and managed large teams of people in various businesses in different parts of the world that I have lived in. And you know what? I never changed my leadership style even once. I have used the same principles of leadership in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Malaysia, in Europe, in the UK, in Austria, in the US. And I have never failed. And the basic principles of leadership, whether you're in Japan or whether you're in Latin America, are you need to respect people. You need to bring out more of their strengths out. You need to earn respect and not command it. You need to give people an opportunity to flourish. So those kinds of principles are universal.
I couldn't agree with you more. And to some extent, because you say they're universal, I also tend to think that these are, in a way, common sense. Like the golden rule, right? I mean, you treat people the way you want to be treated. And yet, why is this so difficult?
Well, this is exactly what the Eclipse Leadership and Governance Center is challenging. You see, every month you will see new research on leadership, which gives you a new model. Complicated PowerPoint slide with different colors and arrows and graphs and say, if you master this set of competencies, you will become a leader. And every month is a different flavor. Our contention is that the definition of good leadership has not changed since the times of Alexander the Great. The context may have changed a little bit, but what followers need from their bosses in order to put their life on the line has not changed since that time. For me to be fully energized and fully motivated, what I expect from my manager is the same as what people expected 1,000 years ago. That has not changed. And therefore, leadership development is less about new techniques, new formulas, and new models, and more about going back to the basics and first discovering who you are and where you get your energy from, because you're going to need a lot of energy to be a leader. And then how do you energize thousands of people around you in an authentic way? And that's what we are dedicating our research to. We are very fortunate because, you know, Malaysia as a country, you talked about what's wrong with Asia. Let me tell you what's right with Asia. Malaysia as a country has realized that, you know, talent and leadership are the two things that are going to keep us from achieving our 2020 objectives. And a problem accepted and acknowledged is a problem half solved. And that's, I think, the exciting part about being here.
Thank you very much. Rajiv Peshavria, CEO of ICLIF, Leadership and Governance Center.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.